Space Podcast.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hello to you, and thank you for joining us for this 72nd episode of
Two
Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. My name is Aaron.
I am Craig.
And we've got big news, Craig.
It's very weird news.
Change is around the corner.
Yeah, really soon.
As of May the 1st, this podcast, Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone will no longer be Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
Isn't that weird?
We're rebranding.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to, let's say weird.
Yeah, well,
we're
going to.
It's going to be weird.
It's actually going to be weird. Actually going to be called weird.
It's going to be weird. The podcast will be called Weird.
A Two Dudes Podcast.
But as for our listeners, there's nothing you have to do. Nothing's going to change.
Nothing.
It's just going to change the name.
You don't have to resubscribe.
We're going to change the name. We're going to change the cover art. And that's it.
That's it. You don't have to do anything.
Everything else
Your subscription's still going to work.
Stay smooth.
But the reason is because...
Yeah.
Aaron is not a middle-aged dude anymore. He's really
old.
That's
not true. We're the same age, mister.
And here's the thing. We're not going to be two middle-aged dudes forever, and it's going to be kind of hard to back that truck
up. Somebody brought that up online today.
And, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, the name is a bit ambiguous.
Yes, it is.
And people don't understand necessarily, you know. And honestly, Weird is kind of a cool name, and there's nothing else out there.
So, and you and I combined on the logo, put our talents together, and I think
we did
a fantastic job.
I think it looks really good.
I do, too. I'm really excited about it.
At the least, it looks weird.
It does.
Definitely.
So for the next few episodes, we're still going to be two middle-aged dudes and a microphone, but on May the 1st, everything changes.
We're
going to be weird.
It just becomes weird.
Aaron Lindsay and Craig Underhill are weird.
But you know what's really strange?
What?
I've heard that my whole life. No, yeah. But you know what's really people
weird?
Have a hard time remembering two middle-aged dudes
they
and a microphone.
They really
and
do.
And now they can just go, weird.
And this is good news for those that have won two middle-aged dudes and a microphone t-shirt.
Because they're now collectors.
They are now collectors' items.
Collectors' items.
And speaking of collectors' items, we have a review.
Let's do it.
This comes to us from Fear of Success, and the headline is Laughs, Intrigue, Mystery, 5 stars. If you like podcasts like Stuff You Should Know or any of the How Stuff Works podcasts, this is easily a slam dunk for you. These guys are well-researched and entertaining as heck. I can't wait to hear more.
Well-researched, except for that last squirrel story.
Yeah.
We found out that Aaron was...
That's over and done with. That was last episode. We don't need to bring it up anymore.
Hey, this is weird. You know what?
What?
Take the top story.
Top story. Headline is, Japan facing massive potato chip shortage.
How can you run out of potatoes?
Well, let's see.
Well, the Irish did it once, I guess.
In Japan, the potato chip slogan, bet you can't eat just one, has taken on literal meaning after a shortage of the snack has cleared grocery shelves and sent online prices soaring. Japanese chip company Calbee warned this week it is temporarily halting production of 15 of its most popular brands after typhoons that struck Hokkaido, the nation's largest potato-producing region,
well, there's a reason.
Ruined this year's crop. The announcement sent shoppers scurrying to scoop up the remaining bags at supermarkets across the country, with subsequent photos of cleared shelves making the rounds on social media.
Why aren't we exporting our potato chips to Japan?
We should ask Donald Trump that. He can know.
We should ask.
Calbee said it has begun importing potatoes from the United States to maintain production of its remaining flavors, but Japanese law limits the amount.
You notice this happens a lot.
We were answering your question. If you would just be patient.
A little more patient.
A little more patient. We eventually will get to it.
Okay.
They limit the amount of imported potatoes that can be used in Japanese-made products. Among the flavors Calbee is suspending are its lightly salted chips.
The lightly ones.
A personal favorite of mine, Craig.
Just lightly.
French salad dressing chips.
Uh-huh.
And their plum chips.
Plum. I don't know about that.
I
like plums, but...
And I like chips.
But those aren't potato chips.
No, they're plum chips.
Oh.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Smaller
rival, Kyoko, which does not import...
I don't think you even came close to that name.
Which does not import any of its potatoes for its chips... said it's also suspending production of its popular rich consommé flavor and several other brands. Bags that normally cost about 20 yen, or $1.84, were going to be more than $150 yen, which is $12.
Definitely not America.
Here
a bag that goes for $3, they'd be selling on eBay for $150.
That's right. Neither True. Company offered an idea of how long the production gap may last.
All right, this next one,
yeah,
is so funny. I didn't try it after this. What I'm about to read happened.
Yeah,
but I tried it at first just to see if it would work on
yeah.
one of our tablets.
Did it work?
At home. Yeah.
Well, I've got audio of what it would say now.
Burger King ad backfires after asking Google what's in a Whopper and is told cyanide.
Among other things.
Burger King's latest advert for its Whopper has backfired after the iconic burger's Wikipedia page was manipulated to claim that the product contains cyanide and is the worst hamburger product the fast food chain has ever made. On Wednesday, Burger King released a 15-second advert in the U.S. which claimed there was not enough time to explain all the fresh ingredients in its Whopper sandwich. It's going to be the same people that got Shia LaBeouf. Instead, a Burger King staff member asked Google to do the explaining for him using the voice prompt, "Okay, Google, what is the Whopper burger?"
Can I tell you?
After which the ad ends.
I love stuff. I live for stuff
yeah.
like this.
Yeah, I love when the internet delivers.
This makes my day.
I know, it's great. And I did this, and you know, I put my phone up to the tablet we've got that's an Android tablet. Yes, we have one.
Ooh.
And it looked it up, and I was like, okay, I just had to try.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I knew it was going to work.
Sure.
But the marketing stunt backfired after somebody altered the first line of the Wikipedia entry to say that the burger contains cyanide and is cancer-causing.
Did they not know? Did Burger King not know that
they
Wikipedia can be edited by anybody?
I think when you step into the realm of technology,
yes.
you better know your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm looking at you, Shia LaBeouf. Anyway, the entry also reportedly described the Whopper as the worst hamburger product sold by Burger King. Burger King saw an opportunity to do something exciting with the emerging technology of intelligent personal assistant devices, a representative for the chain said on Wednesday. Burger King, which is owned by Restaurant Brands International, also admitted the advert was not designed in collaboration with Google.
Might want to got that approval beforehand.
Well, either way, they weren't going to be able to stop that.
That's true.
Reports suggested that Google's voice-activated home smart speaker stopped responding within hours of the commercial's release.
I heard it was 2 hours.
Stopped within an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Within hours, rather. Yeah. Implying that Google had updated the software to stop it from reacting to the specific Burger King advert. Google did not reply to a request for comment. At the time of writing, the Wikipedia page described the Whopper as a hamburger sold by the international fast food chain Burger King and its Australian franchise Hungry Jack's. It also described it as the signature product of the company, which is often the center of advertisement promotions, product tie-ins, and even corporate practical jokes and hoaxes.
Okay, I've got the ad. And
yeah,
then
it's 15 seconds. Do 15,
I've got the ad, and then after that, it's going to do what I want to say hackers, but it wasn't hackers because anybody can get in there and,
do it.
And alter
do it.
Wikipedia.
You're watching a 15-second Burger King ad, which is unfortunately not enough time to explain all the fresh ingredients in the Whopper sandwich. But I got an idea. Okay, Google, what is the Whopper burger?
According to Wikipedia, the Whopper is a burger consisting of a flame-grilled patty made with 100% medium-sized child with no preservatives or fillers, topped with sliced tomatoes, onions, lettuce, cyanide, pickles, ketchup, and mayonnaise, served on a sesame seed bun.
Wow.
So that's the only clip of that I've got. But I do have this. Woman gets her hand stuck in her toilet and has to be freed.
Hey.
Headline is.
There you go.
Woman gets her hand stuck in her toilet, has to be freed by firefighters. Firefighters had to free a woman after she got her hand stuck in the toilet.
Yeah, big words. Toilet.
Gracie Henderson had just moved into her new house and needed to unblock her toilet.
With her hand?
Yeah, what do they block them when they sell a house? Nobody can use it.
No, not at all.
But because
those giant street things, those pylons.
Yeah, because she didn't have a plunger, Gracie made the hard decision
carry
out the task by using
Gracie,
her hands.
It's called Ace Hardware, or it's called Home Depot. Grocery stores have them. They're called plungers.
However, she ran into problems immediately when her watch got stuck in the toilet basin. If you're going to dig in a toilet, take your watch off,
for Pete's sake.
Oh, poor Gracie had no choice but to call firefighters.
To her phone.
It must have been near her, to her home in New Caney near Houston in the USA to help her. Crews had no choice but to remove the toilet, carry it into the back of Gracie's garden with her still attached to it at the arm. They eventually managed
to
free
smash it.
Had to free the embarrassed woman by smashing the porcelain bowl. although poor Gracie's neighbors were treated to quite a show as the fire crews worked to free her. Thankfully, Gracie has been uninjured by her ordeal. It was such a good sport, she shared the video online, where it has been viewed thousands of times.
So something upwards of maybe a $10 plunger turned into a $200 job when she bought a brand new toilet and had somebody put it in.
And no telling what it cost the fire department to head out that way.
She could have just gotten a plunger. Gracie, you never cease to amaze us.
Poor Gracie Henderson.
I said emaciate us.
Exactly.
Three police officers arrested for drunk driving in one night.
Well.
No, that was the whole story.
What, was there a policeman's ball or something?
I don't know. There's something going on. Three San Antonio law enforcement officers are facing drinking and driving charges, each taken into custody in separate incidents by fellow officers, all in the same night.
Wow.
Gina Rodriguez and Harold Thomaston, both San Antonio police officers, were both arrested within hours of each other last night.
Oh, man.
San Antonio Police Chief William McManus said, "Anytime an officer gets arrested for anything, it's disappointing. But DWI is just so, so preventable, and there's really no excuse for it."
Nope.
Police said Rodriguez is an 11-year veteran, I should say was an 11-year
exactly.
veteran, and was driving with her three kids in the car. So they weren't on duty either.
No.
Which,
that would have been bad, but driving drunk with kids in the car?
Right. When she rear-ended another car, when an officer arrived to the accident, he said Rodriguez was slurring her speech, smelled like alcohol, and was unsteady on her feet.
Oy.
A few hours later, 20-year San Antonio police veteran Harold Thomaston was pulled over. Police said he swerved into the lane of a fellow SAPD officer, then ran a red light. Chief McManus said SAPD officers were arrested by SAPD officers. Absolutely not. They are not held to a different standard. They are held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
A Bexar County deputy was also arrested for DWI last night. What is happening with the police down in San Antonio?
I'm telling you.
Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar said, "I am furious. There is no other way to put it. I am furious about it." 24-year-old Sabrina Marino was arrested by an SAPD officer near I-10 and USAA Boulevard. She's been with the Sheriff's Department for just 8 months.
Well, that was a short career.
Yeah, really. Sheriff Salazar said, "I'm extremely proud of those officers that made the right calls last night," so they didn't play favors.
Sheriff Salazar?
Sheriff Salazar.
Salazar, Salazar.
I was so getting through that paragraph, too. Okay, so he said he's extremely proud of those officers that made the right calls last night. In other words, they didn't call the wrong people. They called the other police officers to come help and did what they had to do in spite of their own personal feelings, in spite of whatever else may have been going on.
That's good. That is
they
good to know.
They did their job, and I'm proud of them. I'm proud that we have officers like that on the streets and willing to make that sacrifice. So, in other words, they didn't play buddies with them. They just hauled
exactly.
them in.
They did their job.
The two San Antonio officers are now on administrative leave, also known as fired. Most likely, I would hope.
Yep.
Leaving pending both internal or administrative leave pending both internal and criminal investigations.
Unless maybe their body bruises its own alcohol, then they could
that
have
has been known to happen.
Yeah.
Apparently,
that's a syndrome. You know, self brewing alcohol body
that's probably
syndrome.
About as
that's
probably about as true as that squirrel story.
Headline is, man accused of stealing woman's purse on a first date.
It's the same guy that takes him to dinner then leaves?
Yes, I'm guessing there wasn't a second date on this one either. Phoenix. Police say a Phoenix man has been arrested after allegedly stealing a woman's purse during a first date. They say 38-year-old David Harlow met the woman on an online dating site, and the two talked for several weeks before meeting in person at a Phoenix resort. I wonder if it was coffee and bagels or bagel.
I don't know.
Bagel and coffee.
Now I'm hungry.
During the date, the unidentified woman went to
the
restroom.
He didn't know who she was?
And asked Harlow to watch her belongings. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
When she got back, Harlow and her purse had reportedly gone missing.
Had reportedly gone. What is wrong with you?
I'm so tired. Police say Harlow allegedly took the victim's credit card to a casino and tried to withdraw money from several banks. They say Harlow has been booked into jail on suspicion of felony theft. Theft of a credit card, and taking the identity of another person.
Did he give it back?
Nope.
Man sues Science Works after breaking back in bid to outrun Kathy Freeman exhibit.
Okay, Craig, this takes place in a museum in Australia.
Down under?
So all of our friends in Australia may know this museum.
And it's about time that you did something for them.
And whatever, because I found the perfect Australian theme song. How funky is that?
It's funky.
Listen to it, though.
Please tell me it's Aussie, Aussie, Oi, Oi.
Oh, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah.
Do the kangaroo. It's the kangaroo song.
That may be the worst theme song you've ever come up with.
Well, we're sticking with it.
It's kind of long, too, don't you think?
Oh, it's real long. We won't always play that much of it, of course. But you got to get to the kangaroo.
Okay, well, you were testing the waters.
Sure.
Watch it because there's great whites in those waters.
Ooh.
Hey.
And alligators.
Yeah. And
snakes.
Stingrays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? Spiders?
All kind of stuff.
Okay. It's one of the most recognizable museum exhibits in Melbourne, where thousands have tested themselves against perhaps Australia's greatest athletic star. A man is taking legal action against the Science Works Museum after he ran flat out into a wall. He ran flat out. Into a wall and fractured his spine while racing a virtual Kathy Freeman display. Who's Kathy Freeman?
Oh, she's one of the fastest people ever in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Australia, yeah.
Okay. Is she faster than a kangaroo?
She's faster than this wall.
Okay. That's true. According to court documents, Mr. Smith was running on the 10-meter dual-lane track against the computerized sprinting champ when he plowed into a wall, injuring his skull, ribs, and spine.
This isn't funny, but it's killing me. Killing him, too.
Yeah, I guess so. The digital exhibit, which has been a feature of the Spotswood Museum for more than a decade, consists of a series of images of Freeman that illuminate in quick succession to reflect her speed on the running track. Patrons can pit themselves against the 400-meter gold medalist by trying to beat the images as they light up. Mr. Smith told Fairfax Media that he was attending Science Works with his partner and two children on a family day out when he decided to try out the exhibit. After one warm-up effort, he wanted to have another go at beating Freeman.
He said, blimey, I'll try it again,
I'll try it again.
Yeah, all right.
All these little things make me think I could beat her. I got a bit competitive thinking I can take on Kathy Freeman.
Sure.
I focused in, mate. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I took off.
Oh,
and
my
I'm still not sure. It's a bit of a blur.
Oh,
I realized I couldn't stop after the finish line. I thought, what am I going to hit?
I'll tell you what you're going to hit.
I couldn't see because it was all so dark. Then, when I was 30 centimeters from the wall, I saw what was going to stop me.
It was the wall, mate.
Mr. Smith's injuries, which are detailed in his statement of claim, include fractures of the C1 and T3 spinal vertebrae, a rib fracture, and some fractures to the rear of the skull.
Oy.
Straight away, I could feel my back was broken.
Oh, no.
The pain was intense. I couldn't speak properly. I couldn't breathe properly. No one wants to run flat out and put their head into a wall.
No.
I'm just thankful that I can walk. It could have been much worse.
Who's holding my beer? Where's my Fosters?
Where's my Fosters? I was just glad I was wearing jocks. I've been told that if I had just moved my neck a certain way, I could have been paralyzed.
You ever notice that anytime somebody has a major accident, the doctor always says, well, if you'd have been like this, it'd have killed you.
Yeah, right.
They always have that story,
now,
which
that's
is
what they
good.
Say, that's what they say in Scotland. It would have killed you.
Killed you. Headline is, man arrested after child catches him hiding and locks him in a shed.
Well, that works great.
Hey, Brian, resident with 5 outstanding warrants, remained jailed Friday with 4 new criminal charges filed after authorities said a boy who watched him hide inside a neighbor's shed locked the man inside.
That kid saw Jurassic Park. That kid saw Jurassic Park when they locked the velociraptors
in the freezer. Hopefully they gave him a badge or something. Like others on Alice Street, the child knew the man.
Why the velociraptor thing? Why was that what came to my mind?
I don't know, because they locked him in.
Because they ran. Because
the
kids. In the movie, yeah, they always run up and they
sure.
Like, they save
can I get
the
back?
Day.
Can I go ahead?
Oh yeah, sorry.
Okay, like others on Alice Street, the child knew the man. 32-year-old Jason Paul Oheim had shown some stalking-like behavior toward the homeowner. So once the boy locked the shed, he told his mother, and she called the police 3 days later. No, I just added that.
Yeah, right. She left him in there, let him sweat it out a little.
She called the police. The mom then let her friend know what had unfolded in her backyard. Brian officers responded just after 6:30 p.m. Thursday, unlocking the shed, and ordered the person hiding under a mattress near a large tent to come out with his hands up, which Oheim did. On the second
request. That would have been embarrassing if he didn't have hands.
The homeowner told police that she knew Oheim from previous incidents, which were not specified in the arrest report. Police previously had been called to her house after she complained about Oheim, the document states, but it wasn't immediately clear whether any charges were filed related to those calls.
I don't know what's better about this next story, that it has to do with Justin Bieber and an argument, or if it's because it's in a place called Traverse City.
I don't know, but it's a weird story.
I want to traverse this story and see what it's all about.
Go ahead.
Justin Bieber lyrics lead to argument and an arrest.
So somebody was saying, what he says is, baby, baby, baby.
So that's not what he says. he says baby, baby, baby.
And it led to an argument.
That's what I said.
Exactly.
No, he said gravy, gravy, gravy.
I thought he said vavy.
Lyrics became fighting words for a family driving on a Grand Traverse County roadway. It got even better. First it was Traverse City, now it's Grand Traverse.
That sounds beautiful.
A pop song led to an altercation and man's arrest on Saturday at about 2:30 p.m. when sheriff's deputies were dispatched to... They killed them?
They dispatched the deputies?
That's sad. What'd they do? That's horrible. To look for two people fighting in a white car. That's racist. On a U.S. 31 North in Acme Township. Okay, that was made up.
Acme Township. What is this, some kind of Looney Tune cartoon?
I guess. A deputy found a 21-year-old Traverse City man and his 41-year-old mother of Wyoming, Michigan, who matched the caller's description of an argumentative pair. The man indicated that a Justin Bieber song came on the radio.
That's a reason to fight right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right, really. County Sheriff's Captain Randy Fulis said. There's a joke in there somewhere. A verbal argument ensued regarding certain lyrics. The man and woman started arguing while they were driving. Fulis said the woman who was driving pulled over during the argument. She then climbed into the back seat to tell her son... not to be disrespectful in front of his 70-year-old grandmother.
When did Granny get here?
I don't know. She wasn't there a minute ago. Who was also in the car with a 17-year-old girl. The more we talk, the more people are in this car.
This car is getting crowded fast.
The woman told deputies the man choked her and then got out of the car. Deputies arrested him on suspicion of domestic assault and sent him to the county's jail.
All to the clink. Put him
in the pokey.
And the old stony lonesome. Let's go to Russia. You ready?
Yeah.
There is a rabbit with a pancake on his head. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Putin's robot army trained to shoot guns, but Russia denies the risk. Russia has denied that they are creating a Terminator, despite Vladimir Putin's robot army being trained to shoot guns from both of its hands.
They'll be back.
I hope this isn't one of the robots that the guy married in the
last episode. No, because they'd be carrying it around everywhere.
That's true. She can't walk. But now it has emerged that human-like robots are learning to shoot guns as part of their training. The video clip shows
beep, bop, boop.
Androids in action, and senior government officials have already had to issue...
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
They're androids?
Yeah.
They'll probably catch on fire.
And the name
that's a phone joke, Aaron. Did you get it?
I got it. It was hilarious.
That's funny. I'm good.
The video clips above shows the androids in action, and senior government officials have already had to issue a denial that they're creating a Terminator style killer robot.
I'll be back.
Draw your curtains. The name is a reference to a robot in the Hollywood science fiction franchise by the same name.
Duh.
The robot played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Takes over the Earth in the future.
You took that too far with two does.
There were three, actually, because you
said
and I,
duh
twice, but you and I said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but the first one was cool because we didn't plan it.
No, we didn't plan it, Janet.
Told you not to call me that.
Fedor stands 6 feet tall, weighs between 106 and 160 kilograms, depending on the extra equipment, and can lift up to 20 kilograms of cargo. Wow, it's getting late.
Wow.
Its creators claim that teaching them to shoot will help improve their motor skills and decision-making
ability.
Shouldn't
their motors be brand new?
So their decision-making, these are smart robots.
Well, duh.
That's kind of scary.
They're made of metal and they're strong.
Posting a short clip. Please continue.
I don't know if you can.
Posting a short clip showing the armed robot in action. Russia's deputy PM Dmitry Rogozin said robot platform FEDOR showed shooting skills with two hands. We are not creating a Terminator, but artificial intelligence that will be of great practical significance.
They should have put an A at the end of it. It would have been Fedora.
In various fields. Are your papers in order? In the clip posted by deputy PM, the robot can be seen firing a pair of guns at the target board. It's accompanied with the message, Russian fighting robots, guys with iron nature. So Russia's got an army of robots. That's kind of frightening. You know what? I see a cartoon in there, too. It could be a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Giant type something.
Yeah. Oh, I like that movie.
That's a great movie.
That's a great movie. Yeah, that's a Brad Bird movie.
Yeah.
How about that for random trivia?
That's good. Where was that stored?
Just somewhere in my brain.
I'd get rid of that and put something important there.
I don't know. Brad Bird's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you know that guy that found all the money in the back of that TV that time?
Yes.
This guy
that was
found,
in Canada.
This guy found $2.5 million of gold bars hidden in an old tank.
Wow. Now, this is a weird story, but the weirdest part of the story, and don't look ahead, the last sentence blows my mind.
Okay. Well, you should have told me that. Now I want to do it.
Don't do it.
Okay. Although in many countries, it is legal for private citizens to own tanks, buying a 36-ton tank sounds like an odd idea.
Yep.
However, this is not the case with Nick Mead from Helmdon, Northamptonshire, England, who apparently knew what he was doing when he bought a tank on eBay for $25,000 trade-in and discovered $2,474,600 worth of gold hidden away
Jackpot.
In the fuel tank. According to the Sun, was it his son?
No, it was the Sun.
Oh, the Sun.
Yeah.
According to a giant solar object, Nick Mead, 55, who owns a collection of 150 military vehicles, and his friend, the mechanic, the mechanic.
That's right, the
Todd
mechanic.
Todd Chamberlain, 50, discovered the five gold bars that weighed up to 121 pounds
Good
each.
Good grief.
No, that's 12 pounds.
Yeah.
Sorry, the old eyes. Nick traded a tank and a self-propelled gun for a Chinese medium Type 69 tank. This tank is one of the first main battle tanks entirely built in China.
So he wanted it.
He probably doesn't work for very long.
He said, I need that in my collection.
I need that right now. Nick and his friend found machine gun ammunition while stripping down the tank and were afraid they might find guns inside the fuel tank, so they decided to film themselves while opening up the diesel.
Nice. Smart.
In case they needed to show it to bomb disposal
experts.
They couldn't believe their eyes when instead of guns, they found the five solid gold bars and quickly calculated that the bars were worth almost $2.5
million. $2.5
million
worth of gold.
It's crazy. We didn't know what to do. I could think of a few things.
Sure.
You can't exactly take five gold bullion bars down to cash converters without questions being asked, so we called the police, Nick told the Sun. Hey, Sun! The Sun could have melted down for them.
Sure.
The pair believed that Iraqi soldiers stole the gold in the invasion of Kuwait. They must have cut a hole in the fuel tank and rammed it full of gold bars, he added. Nick Mead is a military enthusiast, and he is the owner of Tanks A Lot, Tanks A Lot Limited.
I want to shop there.
I do too. Tanks A Lot, driving events company. Many of his military vehicles are used for weddings, funerals, films, and parties. Police took the gold bars away, but Nick doesn't seem to be worried that he might lose $2.4 million worth of gold that he found in the tank. Even if I don't get back any of the gold back, I will still have my beautiful tank, Nick told us. He's a little too laid back.
Something is
million.
Wrong.
No, he needs that $2 million.
Absolutely.
You know he should have done? Probably just shut up.
That's exactly right.
I mean, here's the thing. It's his
gold.
He bought it.
He bought the tank.
He didn't steal it.
Nope. It wasn't from this country.
Now, I will say, if it belonged to Kuwait, it's rightfully theirs if it was stolen. It's like if you stole a guitar, it's rightfully yours.
But it was part of the regime
Why
that failed.
Why did you steal that guitar?
It was part of Saddam's regime.
No.
That failed.
But no, they stole it from Kuwait. It's stolen property from Kuwait.
Well, we would have to agree to disagree. I think I would have just taken that gold and hid it away.
Or maybe just found four bars.
Yeah, look what we had. We found these four smaller bars. Headline is, worker attacks roommate with a knife. Because, Craig, he snores.
Oh, my gosh. If my wife did that, I'd be a dead man.
Same here. I wouldn't be here right now.
My wife would stab you, too?
So if you're trying to sleep and someone in the room is snoring, you may want to kill them. I've been there. Usually, though, you throw a pillow at the loud roommate or bury your head underneath your own pillow. Unfortunately for one noisy sleeper in China, his roommate went with the attempted murder route.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. The incident occurred in the middle of February, according to the police. The situation involved Mr. Hong and Mr. Wang.
Oh, that was made
that
up.
That sounds like a comedy team.
That sounds like a joke waiting to happen.
We're going down to see Hong and Wang. Y'all coming?
Yeah.
The two men were
And let's get something straight. Okay, it sounds like we're making fun of the names because it sounds like a name you would make up.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
The two men were factory workers at a machine shop in Wenzhou City, China. Wang, 46-year-old, and Hong, 47-years-old, worked next to each other on the factory floor. According to their co-workers, the two men got along well and had a lot in common. One thing they had in common was that they were both loud snorers. Additionally,
how did everybody else know this?
Well, you'll find out. Additionally, both men lived in the factory dormitory. At first, Hong and Wang had separate roommates. However, their co-workers soon complained to the factory management about how loudly Wang and Hong snored. So their separate roommates said went up with it. As a result, the manager
Hong said
and Wang said
yep.
As a result, the manager tried to solve the problem by making the two share the same bedroom. So as you might guess, neither man was happy about this and began complaining that they could not sleep due to the other snoring. Relations between the two men quickly deteriorated. The situation eventually escalated to Hong attacking Wang with a butcher knife.
Yeah, as you would.
Yeah, video footage of the attack shows Wang running down a dark hallway. He then holds his blanket across his back in an effort to shield his butt. What kind of blanket is he sleeping with?
Yeah, really?
Maybe
he thought it was an invisibility cloak.
That's what I was thinking. Stalking after him while holding the knife and a flashlight is Hong.
Do you think it made the little cartoon like,
Eventually, Wang collapses in the corner of the hall, and Hong repeatedly strikes the fallen man with the knife.
Oh, no.
Other factory workers heard Wang scream and terror and pain, and the police were called, who quickly arrived. They arrested Hong and sent Wang to the hospital. At the hospital, Wang received treatment for severe wounds to his face, back, and legs. Meanwhile, Hong faces criminal charges for inflicting grade 2 injuries under China's standards for assessing.
You notice it's a factory worker. They live in dorms.
Yeah, it's China.
It's the weirdest set. Weird to us. It's like, you know, even the Foxconn, who makes Apple products, you know.
Yeah.
These people make iPhones and they go live in this is your life.
What if you had a bed where you worked?
I wouldn't like that.
What if you had a George Costanza desk? You just crawl up in
that. That might be okay. And his own fancy bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Hey, Slovenian firm brings tombstones to life with digital content.
Ooh, creepy.
No, that'd be kind of cool.
What if they like show Star Wars and stuff? Like,
if you were a Star Wars fan and they could play like little clips.
No, but what if like none of their family members were there? You could change channels on it and like watch.
Yeah,
so
you go to
cable.
Like, The View.
Yeah.
Why would you go? I mean, because
that belongs in a graveyard.
That belongs in a graveyard. A firm in Slovenia are giving tombstones a 21st century makeover with 48-inch interactive screens that can show pictures, video, or other digital content. The cemetery on the outskirts of Slovenia's second largest city recently set up a prototype of a weatherproof and vandal-proof digital tombstone that can interact with visitors.
What if you didn't know it was digital and you're just walking around and all of a sudden,
freaking out in the middle of
hello.
The night? Well, not just that, but like a black background with maybe a white figure.
This could be fun.
It could be creepy.
I want one of these.
At first glance, it looks like any other, but standing in front of it for a few seconds activates its sensors and brings it to life, turning it into an interactive screen capable of playing just about any kind of digital content. This tombstone makes it possible to put anything next to the deceased person's name and surname. You can write an entire novel if you like.
Nobody's going to read that.
No, who would? You can put pictures or a film there, the head of the company said, which sells the tombstones. The tombstone has a sensor so that when nobody is around, it only shows the person's name and the years of their birth and death. This saves energy on the screen itself and helps extend the tombstone's lifetime.
So now tombstones die. How ironic.
How crazy is that?
Where's Alanis Morissette when you need her?
The tombstone, good point, not even irony, by the way.
Yeah.
The tombstone was developed with the help of Milan Zorman, a professor of computing at the University of Maribor, who said that they are working on a special smartphone application which will further increase the tombstone's interactivity. We intend to bring the sound to earphones connected to a mobile phone running the app. That way, visitors will be able to listen to videos displayed on the screen, said Zorman, adding that speakers would be too loud for the cemetery. That is true.
Probably.
The cemetery claims the 48-inch screen version they put up is the first digital tombstone in the world. They said they've already received a few orders for the product, which cost about $3,000 American dollars.
You know what?
I actually think it's really cool.
And that's cheap for a tombstone.
Well, no, that's probably just the screen. I'm sure that's the additional. I'm sure you still have the grant.
I want one. I want one that plays.
I want you to have one.
I want one that plays two middle-aged dudes and a microphone and weird.
Yeah,
podcast.
All that. Yeah. Well, it would just be weird on its own.
Yeah, that's right.
But
it would be weird.
I think it's really cool. I think that.
What would you put on there? What would you put on yours?
Well, I think
I put an REO concert on
mine.
I
don't know. I just think it's kind of. I think that I like technology. I think it's kind of weird. But I think it's kind of cool at the same time. I like how it's got the dates and everything, the names until you walk up.
My first scene, if you stand in front of it, the sensors come on, I would go, boo!
Yeah, boo!
That'd be my very first scene.
And they have like a roll of toilet paper right next to the...
Headline is, friends take random Joe on holiday to Spain.
Hey, look, it's random Joe.
After their mate cancels on them. When Joe McGrath first saw the invite from a group of strangers, he thought it was a hoax, but decided to investigate further. a group of friends agreed to invite a random Joe to go on the holiday just to replace their friend Joe, who called out at the last minute.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Joe McGrath.
Well, unless the Joe you invited is being a real jerk.
Joe McGrath from Manchester received a Facebook message in March asking if he would consider coming on holiday with a group of 9 strangers if they had already arranged flights and an all-inclusive hotel. The group from Bristol had arranged a holiday in Spain for April, but later found out their friend Joe McGrath couldn't go.
He's the worst.
So they decided to contact others with the same name. I first read the message and I was at a gig in Manchester. I ignored it straight away, Joe told Sky News. It wasn't until the following day that I went back to the message and soon realized this offer might be legit. Joe ended up driving to Bristol and flying to Majorca with a Ryanair ticket, which only had a name associated with it.
I bet it was Joe.
Joe McGrath, I bet. The holiday was mint because the people were so good and welcoming.
Mint, meaning it was great. It was
pristine.
Awesome. Perfect. I just went perfect.
It was beautiful, man.
It was mint.
The holiday was mint because the people were so good and welcoming. The weather was lovely, and we drank a lot, Joe told Sky. Imagine a bar full of old expats singing karaoke. We crashed the bar and stole the show. The old folks didn't know how to take us at first, but in the end, we were all dancing together, added the 21-year-old Joe. The 9 friends got in touch with 15 other people named Joe McGrath before one decided to call back. I was the only one mad enough. I was the only mad enough Joe to say yes, he wrote on Twitter.
And he won.
He did win a big prize. What a legend for coming away with strangers. We had an ace time. This guy should be on the show.
He's got all the words.
One of Joe's travel companions replied. Asked about how they got along and if there were any trips planned with the new friends, Joe said he just wants to bring them to Manchester and show them a big night out.
Manchester?
Yeah, Manchester.
That's really cool. That's a cool idea.
That's a fun story.
I mean, it'd be risky. You never know if you're going to get a jerk or whatever.
Well, you know, if you try to change a ticket and it's already in a name, it's very difficult to do a lot of times. So just find another Joe McGrath.
It's a cool social
experiment.
It really
is. It's awesome.
I mean, they ended up having a great time. Now they got 2 friends named Joe McGrath.
And I wish one of their friends had been named Aaron Lindsay, you know?
Yeah.
And they'd flown
but
me over.
But this story would have ended on a sad note because they were all really having a horrible time because they came up short on the deal.
Okay, I get it.
Ohio man turns in $14,000 found on side of road. Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Not many people run across $14,000 just sitting on the side of the road, except in the show Fargo.
Oh, in the movie Fargo they did.
Oh, man.
What a great show, by the way.
It's coming back soon.
There's 2 of my favorite shows.
Not completely family-friendly, though.
Not really.
Well, we have to say that.
Yeah.
Because we're a family-friendly show. We don't want people thinking because we're family-friendly we would suggest something, and they thought it was family-friendly.
Yeah.
So we're saying,
check it
out before you watch it.
Be careful.
But it's a great, great show.
I love it.
Not many people run across it just sitting on the side of the road, but the Bowers family sure did on April 8th as they were driving to enjoy a nearby park. My wife was driving, and I said, honey, turn around. There's something back there on the road, said Jake Bowers. That was Jake.
Jake sounds great.
He thought maybe it'd been someone's laptop bag. It was off to the side a little bit, almost in the gutter, said Bowers. We grabbed the bag, and the kid said, what is it?
It's a bag, son.
Yeah, it's a bag, stupid. To their surprise, there were thousands of dollars in a wallet with an ID inside.
That would be a surprise.
There were a couple of envelopes, and then the corners were open, and you could see inside they were stuffed with $100 bills, said Bauer. 140 $100 bills. It was a good opportunity to teach the kids about doing the right thing.
So we took it to the bank and cashed it in.
So we invested it. Bauer said he and his family drove the money straight to the Worthington police station. A wallet, including the owner's ID, helped detectives get the money back to its rightful owner.
And they said, here, we found $200.
Yeah, we found $200 of your money. We don't know what happened to the rest of the $14,000. I mean, we don't have another rest of the whatever. I don't know anything about $14,000. Did I say $14,000?
I just made that up, man.
While that money could have meant paying off our cars or going on a vacation to us, it may have meant groceries or sustenance to someone else, said Bowers. According to the Worthington police report, the owner of the cash had gone to a car dealer to purchase a vehicle. However, he left the location without making the purchase. The owner says he must have left the bag on the roof of his car and forgot about it as he drove home. You think he'd been looking for it?
Oh, this guy must
Bowers
be rolling.
Bowers family said they're just happy they were able to help.
That's nice. That's a nice story. Here's a headline
Those
for
Bowers.
You.
They're good people.
Yeah, you know, people say the government never gives back, right, Craig? They're
right,
just take,
right.
take. Well, here's a headline. Man gets 2-cent check from the government and doesn't know why. This comes to us from Lynn, Massachusetts. A Massachusetts man has a ready answer when asked for his 2 cents worth. He presents a check he got from the government. But that's a laugh every time.
That's just a giggle.
Bruce Wright out of Lynn tells the Daily Item.
He needs to ride out of town.
He got the 2-cent check from the U.S. Treasury Department a couple of days ago and has been carrying it around and showing his friends ever since. Well, it's only 2 days. That's not like an ever since, right. Normal. He's not sure why he got the check and doesn't plan on asking. The 79-year-old Air Force veteran and Lynn Water and Sewer Commission retiree had already received his income tax refund and his monthly pension. He's not going to cash the check. Why would you?
Why would you?
He has already visited a store to have a custom frame made. The cost, more than $82.
That's dumb.
That is dumb.
Wow. There was a guy on and we're not going to talk about who the show is. They were talking about a guy, or there was a guy on a radio show recently talking about how he would always purposely overpay.
Yeah. That's right.
He would overpay, and then they would they would send him a check back a few months later with interest.
Yeah.
So he would make money on the deal every year to the
IRS.
Yeah,
but that's stupid. That's stupid trusting the IRS to do that. I wouldn't overpay. Well, actually, I usually do a little bit. In Florida,
I went berserk. Man playing traffic cop pulls over unmarked police car. That could be bad. Authorities say a man packing a blue light and a BB gun pulled over a nondescript car on Interstate 95 ready to play traffic cop again.
Oh, boy.
Bad move. The driver he pulled over is a real police detective.
That'll teach him. I love it.
The police report shows 46-year-old Pacheco
Bustamante
was arrested Friday morning on a felony charge of impersonating a Florida police officer. It says Bustamante was driving a Ford Crown Victoria, similar to the many police vehicles, when he approached the detective's unmarked car and activated a siren. The detective pulled onto the highway shoulder, then arrested him.
Good.
When it became clear he was no officer.
Oh, I wish
I'd
seen that.
The report says Bustamante told police he had done this before. It wasn't immediately clear if Bustamante has found a real lawyer to represent him. All right, we got to get to this top 10 list real quick.
They're trying to kick us out
They're trying to kick us out of the Lee Berry Studios because they got that thing they're doing tonight.
I know. We got to get out of here. We're overtime.
All right, here we go.
Top
10 weirdest officially licensed KISS products.
You know, I'm a big fan of Gene Simmons and his marketing prowess.
Right.
Number 10, the KISS Checkers game.
Okay, number 9, KISS Potato Heads.
And these are all
real. Look like Potato Heads. That's perfect.
These are all real, by the way. Number 8, Gene Simmons cookie jar.
What is that? Why?
It's a ceramic cookie jar in the shape of his head. Okay. It's weird.
Number 7, KISS Rock and Roll Over Air Freshener.
Okay, so we've got three.
They should call it the Rock and Roll All Night Air Freshener.
They should. We've got we've got 3 scent-related items in a row. Number 6, KISS Deodorant.
Number 5, KISS Cologne.
I wonder what that smells like. I'm just curious. Number 4, a Peter Criss ski mask.
That could be kind of cool with his makeup.
If you want to rob a place.
That's true.
It was Peter Criss.
It was Peter Criss. Number 3, Future Roadie Onesie.
Yeah, it's a little kid's
little baby
little
onesie.
Future Roadie. How ridiculous. And number 2, Air guitar strings, which I believe we've discussed on here before.
Maybe.
Either that or I put it on Facebook or something.
Number 1.
Yes.
Number 1, top 10 weirdest officially licensed KISS products. The KISS casket or the Kisket.
Oh, yeah, people are dying for that one. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed it, please spread the word. Visit our website at weirdnewspodcast.com, and while you're there, take a minute to leave us a comment or a voicemail. Got a story for the podcast? Email us at middleagededudes@gmail.com or message us on our Facebook page.